Donald on a Kitchen talks about food. Donald on a Kitchen talks recipes. Donald on a Kitchen talks about lots of other things on community radio. Welcome to the Donald on a Kitchen. My name is Lana Noctigal.
And I'm Donna Priskintas.
We're going to talk today about eating local and squash and CSAs and all kinds of good stuff. We get together here at the KHOI studio, beautiful downtown Ames. This is community radio. We get by with a little help from our friends.
Yes, support comes from Wheatsfield Co-op, your full-service natural foods grocery in Ames. Community-owned, community-focused, since 1974, open daily 7 a.m. to 9 p.m., located downtown at 413 Northwestern, just off Main Street in Ames. Everyone can shop Wheatsfield Co-op. And also, the Donald on the Kitchen is supported by Farm to Folk, an Ames-based food cooperative, supporting farmers and bringing local farm produce and meats through the fall and winter. Information on a la carte buying options are available at farmtofolk.com.
Yes, we are, and yes, we do. This is the Donald on the Kitchen. As I said before, it's time to think about, well, putting the garden to bed, but we still have to keep feeding ourselves. Now is the time of harvest.
I hear that we're finally about to get the first frost on tomorrow night, right? What do you think?
I think so. Have we ever been lucky? We have had a beautiful fall, and first frost, well, though it's not welcome, it is due.
Right. We're way past our usual frost date. Now, is this a sign of climate change?
Oh, it's a sign of I'm glad that it's coming now because I'm always behind and there's always things to do in the garden.
And I have enjoyed Lana gave me some Tithonia plants, which is a Mexican sunflower, way last spring. They are one of my favorites. They have grown to, 7 or 8 feet in various spots in the garden. And because we haven't had a frost, we've had them going and going and going, and they've just been gorgeous.
Now, I would think that a frost would nip them really quickly because they are kind of a delicate hot summer thing, but
we'll see.
They're gorgeous things, bright, bright, bright orange, and they just kind
and
of stand up.
And the butterflies have loved it.
Yes. Well, so now's the time to save seeds. I've never saved seeds off Tithonia, actually, myself, because mine never actually, they're blooming, but I've never gotten good seeds off them. But this time of year, I go around with a little dish pan and a couple of baggies in my pocket because it's nice to kind of come along and pick seeds off a thing and save it.
I do manage one thing. Mm. Well, I'll say two things. I have a lot of anise hyssop in the garden, and now they're all dried on the stalks. And so I just go around and strip the stalks and then kind of sprinkle them in close to the ground. That way I get more the next year. And I do the same thing. Now, we've had some shows on milkweed, so the seed pod will split pretty soon, and you'll get all those lovely white little things flying through the air. But I tend to, just when they're starting to split, to take them and kind of assist nature by putting them also where I want them.
Good, good. Good. Mother Nature can use
yes.
a little help.
Yes.
And we think we're helping. I think it doesn't hurt. And besides, being mindful is also a good way to help each other out there. That's good. Oh, shell beans. This is the season of shell beans.
I went to Lana's house for dinner. Now, I have to tell you, Lana always has good food. And the secret to Lana's great cooking is always that she has just amazing ingredients.
Cook in season, that's a good thing. Now, we've talked about shell beans also before on this show. Shell beans are kind of this magic sort of thing. It's between when a bean is still green and you can eat the pod.
Like a green bean.
Green bean. Or it's when this time of year they get all hard and big and lumpy and dry on the inside. We can save, speaking of saving seeds, you can pick those off and use them as dry beans or keep them for next year. But in between, there's something called a shell bean.
Which is delicious.
They're soft. They're soft. They're the size. Oh, well,
soft-ish. You do have to cook them.
Yeah, you do have to cook them. But if you can catch, I used two different kinds because this year I grew two different kinds of soup bean. One was called turkey craw. Now, doesn't that make you hungry? Turkey craw. And Good Mother Stoddard. And I got both of those from the Seed Savers Exchange. Really nice. Soup beans,
cold
beans.
Okay, so when you pick them at this stage, like to make that bean soup, so they're not completely dried out. So how long did you have to cook the beans to make them nice and soft like that?
About 20 minutes.
Yeah.
But I cooked them.
With no pre-soaking.
No pre-soaking. I cooked them a little bit beforehand and then added them to the soup. So it was a really nice bean soup.
Now, if you were going to not make them into soup immediately and you actually wanted to dry them to preserve them for the winter, after you shell them, do you lay them out to dry or do you put them straight away into some kind of like a jar to save?
Oh, you're talking about the dry beans?
Yeah, when you go from a shell bean and you don't eat them all at that stage and you want to preserve them for the winter, how do you dry them?
If you still have softish shell beans, you could dry them, but at that stage, just freeze them. Put them in a bag and freeze the shell beans. You can use them out of the freezer as a soft, almost ready to cook, really good bean. The other beans, the ones that are dry, make sure they're completely dry and put them in a jar. And then those are the ones you need to soak later in the season. You'll find a use for them. They'll be good.
But the nice thing about growing your own shell beans, no, dried beans.
Dried beans. Soup beans.
Is they still, you don't have to soak them and cook them nearly as long as, say, something you buy at the store. Because the beans do go on drying and drying and drying. And you can dry them and, I suppose, store them for years. But the longer you store them,
the drier they get.
That's right.
Well, that's good. Right. That's good. We can save them, but we can also eat them. And so let's celebrate those beans coming out of the garden at the end of the season here. Very good. We're also going to talk about squash today.
That would be my most favorite vegetable in the world. Well, a certain kind of squash. The hard winter squashes, I have to say. I am not a zucchini lover. I am not a spaghetti squash lover. But a good, deep, orange, hard winter squash. Yum!
Oh, I think we've hit a note here.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
So, there is a really nice recipe on the Donna Lemon Kitchen recipe page, which kind of leads into celebrations.
Oh, that's true. That's true. I mean, I'm such a fan of hard winter squash. And, you know, there are many, many kinds. My current favorites are either a green or an orange kabocha, that's with a K, or butter cup. Butternut is okay, but butter cup is, I think, sweeter, richer, more unctuous. There also seems to be a lot of Hubbard squash around this year, which look darling on the table, and then when you get tired of looking at them, you can cook them or roast them.
Very good.
But here's the thing that's already on our website, and we've talked about this every year because I'm very enthusiastic about this. Come Thanksgiving or pumpkin season, pumpkins are actually a winter squash, basically, kind of, I guess. But they never taste as good as the winter squash. So for my pumpkin pies, I don't use pumpkins. I use winter squash. And so we have a pumpkin cobbler recipe on our website. And I always substitute a cooked squash for that.
Good. So you can go to khoifm.org, go to the talk section. We're talk, generally. We're a talk show. And go to the Donna Lemon Kitchen, and we have a recipe page there. And find that pumpkin cobbler when you are standing there in your kitchen for the Thanksgiving dinner and don't know what to do.
It's way easier than pies, I think, anyway.
That's very good. That's very good. There's other recipes there, too. And you can also find there's a pumpkin pie recipe there called the Provençal pumpkin pie.
Oh,
recipe.
Yeah. Lana found that. That sounds yummy also.
Yeah. That's a pumpkin pie recipe.
But which you could make with squash.
Which you can. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't have the usual cloves, nutmeg, pumpkin pie spices in it. This comes from the south of France, and of course they do things differently there. So this pumpkin custard lovely light pie is flavored with citrus.
Oh,
very nice.
I hadn't remembered that. Well, the trick, and there is no trick, it's really simple. Whatever your favorite pumpkin recipe is, you can substitute the cooked flesh of the squash, and that would be butternut, kabocha, even perhaps Hubbard. You can just cup for cup make a direct substitution. It's not rocket science.
There you go. There you go. And here I sell things at farmers market. And over the past years, I've been selling something that is in the squash family. It is not edible, but people always come up, and the first thing they say is, "Isn't that cute?" Now, I'm long on cute, so I like cute. I've been selling gourds, and my favorite kind of gourd is something called a Tennessee dancing gourd. It is called a Tennessee dancing gourd. It's a little pear-shaped, green, stripy thing, and they're small, tiny little things. Maybe that's why people think they're so darn cute. Tennessee dancing gourds are just to look at. They're just to put on your table, just to have a good time with. And the reason they're called Tennessee dancing gourds is the theory is, I've got this from the seed catalog, kids in country school used to take these little gourds to school with them in their pocket, and if you get one that is balanced just right, they make fine little spinning tops.
I was wondering about that.
Fine little spinning top. They have to be dried out, and you have to get one that's balanced, and you can have, like, gourd wars on the table. You can bounce them off of one another. Anything to keep from doing your schoolwork. That's why they're called Tennessee dancing gourds, and they are in the squash family, but don't eat them. Just enjoy them. So this is the time to think about harvest. Good meals, good food. Winter's coming up.
So it's soup season. So I made a squash soup this week. You can, and this is, I'll just give you a general outline because there's so many ways to do this. You can either, you know, split them and seed them and roast them with the open side up and then scoop the, I never bother to peel a squash. It's too much work. So if you cook them, then you can just scrape the flesh out. So either you can roast them or you can steam them. And if you steam them in water, of course, be sure to save the water for the soup. So I made a sort of, you can go either basically European with them and, you know, just puree them with water, with milk, with stock. They can be flavored, any number of ways. This is an old one I've done for a long time. I actually buy mushroom stock in the aseptic package. It's one of the only stocks that I actually buy. So if you roast or steam the squash and you put it in the blender with the mushroom stock, salt and pepper, and then at the end, take some rosemary bits, and not too many because you can overdo it with rosemary, saute them in butter, and then whirl them into the soup is really good. Or brown butter sage. Take those sage leaves, which will probably still be hanging on the plants even after the frost, and brown those in butter. I mean really brown, dark brown. And then at the end, you crunch the leaves after they've cooled into the soup and stir the butter in. Those are really, really simple ways to do it. But what I did was I kind of went the Asian direction on this. So I cooked my squash. I did it on the stovetop, so I had plenty of liquid left. Then I scraped it out into the blender, and I put the soup water, I mean the boiling water, and then I put one can of the reduced-fat coconut milk, which takes it in the Asian direction. So you put the coconut milk as part of the liquid, and then instead of salt, I used fish sauce.
Ha!
Which is very salty.
Right.
So you kind of do it to taste for mm-hmm, the saltiness.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then I sautéed hot green chili, a red chili, some onions, and a little bit of garlic. I think I used olive oil for that. You could use butter. It doesn't really matter. And then I stirred that into the soup. It was yummy.
That sounds good. Be brave. Try fish sauce sometime. You open it up and you think, oh, no, this stuff has gone bad. No, it hasn't gone bad. It tastes much better than it smells. That, yeah, an Asian way of using soup sounds wonderful.
Yeah, it's really good. You know, I mean, fish sauce is one of those, you know, they talk about the five flavors, sweet, salty, sour, bitter, and umami. So fish sauce is one of those umami things. It does add a certain richness. It doesn't scream fish. It's really salty is what it is. Mm-hmm. So a little fish sauce and a little coconut milk right out of the can goes a long way with squash.
There you go. Some squash ideas from the Donna Juana Kitchen. The first frost is kind of just around the corner, and winter is just around the corner. So wouldn't it be nice to have access to great locally grown food all year? When we had farmers markets and we've had our gardens.
And when does the farmers market end?
Pretty soon. The one in Ames goes to the end of October.
Okay. So we got a few more weeks left to buy your squash.
You can. But, you know, all good things do come to an end. And you look out in your garden, you look on your herb garden, and it's going to be snow out there soon, folks. Or at least it's going to be kind of brown. So a nice way to access food all year round, and also a nice way to meet your local growers and a whole lot of nice people, is community-supported agriculture.
Well, we have in the studio with us Marilyn Anderson, who runs Farm to Folk. Now, I hesitate to call it community-supported agriculture because, Marilyn, we have way more than just the CSA model.
That's right. Yes. Yeah. We have the CSA model where people pay at the beginning and get a weekly delivery.
For a season.
But
we have like the greens share, the dairy share. What else?
In the summer, the vegetable share. We're coming up with the fall share, which will be the squash, the sweet potatoes, the Brussels sprouts, the onions, the potatoes.
Oh, Brussels sprouts. I forgot about that.
Mm. Yeah. Don't forget Brussels sprouts. They're yummy, especially after it frosts.
But it's more than that because you have the a la carte section.
Correct, yeah. And a la carte, every week I update the list of what's available and put it online so people can access that.
Okay, so the what's available comes from a group of very local farmers. So you're only getting things that are kind of grown in this area of the state.
That's right, yeah.
So how many farmers do you have at this point
that you're representing? We have 18 farmers right now.
It's a large choice. So you've got, there's people making breads. There's people growing grains. So you've got early morning harvest, which has Iowa flours, Iowa corn, Iowa oats, cereal grains.
Cereals, right.
And then honey. And then you've got some people with Iowa salsa. You've got several meat producers.
Correct.
So you've got chicken, eggs.
Pork, beef, dairy.
Fruit.
We have
fruit.
Yeah, we have fruit. Berry Patch will have apples into the fall and into the winter probably.
So the idea is you sign up and you become a member for only $20 per year.
Actually, $15 per year.
Oh, my goodness.
It's a bargain.
It certainly is. And then on Fridays, you get an email from Marilyn that lists all of the options.
Correct.
And so you fill in exactly what you want, if that's an a la carte thing, or if you've already bought the share, you just show up, right?
That's right, yeah.
And right now it's at the Methodist Church on Tuesdays in the late afternoon that you pick it up.
Mm-hmm.
Couldn't be simpler.
It's very simple. And we're friendly, and we like to meet new people, so check out our website and join up.
Do you have an upcoming one of those member introduction events?
We will be having a holiday open house, Meet the Producers. I have not set the date for that yet.
That's always fun. Well, and we'll announce it. So go and different producers bring samples of their wares, and you get to ask them questions about how they do this, that, and the other. Mm-hmm. And so let's talk about, for example, how many egg producers do you have?
Right now, we just have two egg producers. Since some chickens at Hanging
Creek
Farm.
Since Lana and Joe lost
a lot of chickens.
They had a predator attack in the spring, so they're really low. But,
yes, but we have two producers bring eggs every
And one
week.
Of them brings duck eggs.
Yes.
So if you want to know where to buy duck eggs.
Yeah,
farm to folk.
Duck eggs.
So, which I'm a big fan. Then there's several meat producers. Let's see. Cindy Madsen comes in once a month.
Yeah, she'll be there today. And we have Remnant Hills. Mm-hmm. Seven Pines has pork and chicken.
Corey Farms.
Corey Family Farm has a wide range of
beef.
Sometimes they have pork, chicken.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
And let's see, who else do we have?
Oh, Mary's.
Yeah.
Mary's Farm
Mary's
does.
Mary's Farm has the broilers.
She does chickens sometimes. Mm-hmm. And then we have, let's see, who goes all winter long? This is the thrilling part for me, that in Iowa you can have locally grown, mostly greens, microgreens, salad greens, kale.
Yeah, lettuce, spinach, chard.
All winter long.
Arugula.
So
yeah,
these
that's
are people
from
Lee's
Greens.
With
they do
hoop houses.
Yeah, they have a heated hoop house, or really it's a heated greenhouse. Mm-hmm. And they grow greens, and you can sign up for a greens share and get a bag of greens every week. You can get lettuce every week, or you can get an assortment. Like one week it'll be lettuce, the next week it'll be spinach, the next week arugula, chard, kale. So we have both those options.
And he almost always has enough for a la carte, too.
That's right, yes.
So, like, all winter long, instead of buying those bagged greens from California, we can have. And the local stuff is really, it's A, of course, fresher and has mm-hmm. less food miles on it. But it is delicious. It really tastes better.
It does.
And I have to say, the prices for local are certainly equivalent for the same as the stuff that they drive all the way from California. And the money goes right to the farmer.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. So the money stays locally here in the community, supports local farmers, and really tastes yummy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We also have a few fall shares that are still available from Middleway Farm. He's transitioning to organic.
Mm-hmm.
This is, I think, his second year. And that will be four deliveries starting the 1st of November.
And what's in his shares?
It'll be the fall type things like sweet potatoes, squash, Brussels sprouts, onions, potatoes, things that you can store. And he also offers what he calls a Thanksgiving box that will be delivered that week before Thanksgiving. So you can have all fresh things to make your pies and salads and whatnot.
So this is still available. You can...
You can sign up for those now.
Right. If you wanted to pop into the basement entrance of the downtown First Methodist Church this afternoon, what time are you there?
4:30 to 6.
Uh-huh. Just go and see Marilyn and get the hang of it.
Sign right up, yeah.
Yep. It's really a unique community arrangement, I must say. I mean, community-supported agriculture is pretty well known around the country, but lots of places don't have the a la carte option, which for me, I love because some weeks I'm only cooking for me, and like next week I'm cooking a meal for 50 people. So I just call Marilyn and I say, how can we get salad greens for 50 people, you know?
Yep. And it works.
We do.
And it
does.
Works out. It
Marilyn,
works out.
She comes through for me every time.
You are listening to KHOI. This is the Donna Lana Kitchen.
Thank you.
back. This is the Donna Lana Kitchen. It being October, it being the time of harvest and Oktoberfest, that was some good old-fashioned polka music, because why not polka? And that was the music of Whoopi John Wilfart and his band. Yes,
Whoopi
that
John
is,
Wilfart?
That is his name. And he is actually a very important person in the modern polka. So modern as in the middle part of the last century, of course, but he kind of revived things and kept things going. Whoopi John Wilfart. He's from New Ulm, Minnesota, and that was his band. That was a tune called the Jolly Crowd Polka. We are here at the kitchen table talking about eating local, eating local, very local.
Seasonal.
With Marilyn Anderson. I want to get back to talking about community-supported agriculture. It's kind of established now. People know what that is. You kind of invest in a farmer. But it hasn't always been so. Farmers used to be those people way out in the country, and we interacted with our food only through grocery stores. We were being very modern. But farmers keep growing food. And community-supported agriculture is a way to connect. How long has the Farm to Folk, CSA, the one here in Ames, Maryland, how long has it been going on?
We started out as Magic Beanstalk CSA in 1998. And in 2006 was when we added the a la carte, and we switched it up a little bit and changed the name to Farm to Folk. But we've been going for quite a while, trying to keep getting new members, adding new farmers as we get new members, so that the farmer can, as they produce more, we can supply food to more consumers.
This is the community supported agriculture is a nice way to get your mind around where food comes from, because
and when it comes,
you end up eating seasonally because you happen to want radishes or you happen to want asparagus now in October. You learn really quickly that Central Iowa, but you can do that, but think back to where this stuff comes from. Farmers need a lead date, a sort of back timing all of this stuff. So you get to learn about farming and about the work.
Strawberries are only in June or May, right. Maybe.
Yeah, you kind of back time. Also, you mentioned Marilyn, you mentioned organic certification. That also takes time.
Takes time and some money and a lot of management.
3 years of time.
Some of the farmers that we work with are certified organic or are working toward that. But a good thing about Farm to Folk is we know the farmers, and if they're smaller and they don't want to go through the process of the certification, we know them. We visit their farms. We know how they're growing. They are growing organically. They're just not jumping through that hoop to get the certification.
It's a pretty big hoop. Yes, it is. And that is one of the nice things about getting to know a farmer. You can actually go out and see how things are done. Ask questions.
You can ask them.
Ask questions. You can say,
did you put any bug spray on this?
Mm-hmm. And sometimes you do and sometimes you don't. You get the whole story. Farming is a complicated business. Yes, it is. And also I want to mention about the a la carte option. Like Donna said.
Right. This is unusual for a CSA to have this. This is pretty brilliant, and I thank you heartily, Marilyn, for this.
Not everybody wants to be confronted with a big box every week. So where did this a la carte idea come from, Marilyn?
Well, like you're saying, some people are gone some weeks, or they're cooking for a big group 1 week, a small group the next. So we really wanted to tailor it so that people could get what they needed when they needed it. If you have a big family, you can always use a CSA box every week. But if you're a single person or a couple, maybe you don't want that much and you want to order just what you need. Some people really love the challenge of the CSA box where they get some things they don't know.
It is kind of fun. It's a bit of a surprise sometimes.
A surprise. You learn to cook with new things, but some people really don't like that. They want to cook with what they want to cook with, and that with the a la carte, you order just what you want, the quantity you want, when you want it.
From what is available.
Of course.
Now here's the thing. With the farmers, they do serve their a la carte customers first.
So, they're CSA customers.
Yes, sorry, yes. I said that backwards. Yeah. So, for example, you know, if Farmer Bruce only has a certain amount of radishes, and they all go to the CSA customer. The a la carte person won't get any. But I must say, our farmers are so good and so generous. There are very rarely a la carte things that I can't get.
Yeah, that's right. And often the CSA farmer will offer the radishes to his members the first week he has them. Mm-hmm. Then the next week, the radishes are for everyone. Mm-hmm. So you might have to wait a week longer to get it with the a la carte.
It's like sitting around a kitchen table. You take your small share and share with everybody else, and everybody gets fed. That's a good idea.
Oh, and we didn't mention there are also flour, F-L-O-W-E-R,
yeah,
CSAs.
We have two flour CSAs. Mm-hmm. One's a CSA okay. and one's just on the a la carte, although mm-hmm. they may also be a CSA next year. Mm-hmm. Elizabella Flower Farm with mm-hmm. Beth Kemp and Friends Flowers with Naomi and Andrew Friend. Mm-hmm. So they both make just beautiful bouquets.
Oh, yeah.
They're very different. Like the Friends Flowers are more formal, and the ones from Elizabella are kind of more rustic, I think. She uses a lot of weed, things from the ditch, and she makes just a gorgeous.
Yeah, they're bountiful,
yes,
looking mm-hmm. kind of things. Beautiful, beautiful, both of them.
Because we eat with our eyes, too. It's nice to have that to look forward to. Do you have can you tell me some of the names of the farms that we have available to us? It's good to know that these people are out there.
Yeah, we have Seven Pines Farm. They're in around Maxwell, Iowa. They're a certified organic farm. The Berry Patch south of Nevada, where you can get apples and lots of pumpkins. You can go out there and pick your own, or you can order that
right.
stuff.
Right. It's a big apple season out mm-hmm. there. It's a great place to take your children and grandchildren.
They have free hay rides on the weekends.
Oh,
it's a lot of fun.
It's lots of fun.
The Corey Family Farm with the meats. Early Morning Harvest with the organic grains and flours.
Right. Harvested in Iowa, ground and packaged. We're very fortunate to have that option.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Cindy Madsen from Ottawa County, who brings pork and poultry and honey.
Mm-hmm.
We have the Picket Fence Creamery for all your dairy needs. They also have some meats available.
And they're every week,
Every week. Uh-huh. And you can buy a share of that, or you can do that a la carte.
Oh, yeah. And Early Morning Harvest also has honey, and Isabella Flowers has honey.
Yes.
And Early Morning Harvest has buckwheat honey,
which is
a
yummy.
Whole world in its own. Mm-hmm. I suggest everybody try some of that buckwheat honey.
Yeah. Remnant Hills Farm is over south of Nevada also.
Yummy pork.
Pork, and he has a little bit of produce also.
Sometimes he has eggs too, doesn't
eggs.
He
does mm-hmm. have eggs. He has mm-hmm. eggs every week.
Mm-hmm.
Iowa Fresh Produce has a CSA share and a la carte. Lee's Greens, they're the ones that have the summer CSA and the winter CSA.
And Lee's goes all winter long. Else goes all winter long for produce?
Well, Berry Patch, if they have apples, mm-hmm. Just depends. Lee's is the main one mm-hmm. that goes all winter long.
Does Iowa Fresh do anything all winter?
In the fall, they'll have some things, but they mm-hmm. usually take a little break. And he starts up really early in the spring, like usually in March. But he takes a couple months off there in the winter.
A well-deserved break. Yes.
Yes. Middleway Farm, they do the summer CSA share, and he has the fall share. Onion Creek Farm, Lana's Farm.
And Lana does jams and jellies all winter long, too, right?
Yeah, as long as they last.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the two flower farms there. Beth, the Elizabella one, still her share goes a few more weeks, but Friends Flowers has stopped for this season. We also have salt liquors. Jennifer Knox does the seasonings, and so she sells through Farm to Folk. Paul's Grains, they come occasionally with different grains and cereals. And I think that is everyone. I hope I haven't. Oh, and we have Iowa Choice Harvest. They offer frozen aronia berries and
corn. But it's all local.
Corn.
It's all
grown in mm-hmm. Iowa. And they have a flash freezing facility. I think it's in Marshalltown.
Mm-hmm.
And they have an office here in town, and
I have to say, their frozen corn is really, really it's really good. Mm-hmm. It's a specific variety that seems to freeze very well, and it's quite tender.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I think that's mostly grown right around Ankeny right now. That's where they get a lot of it anyway.
Yeah, yeah. What's the name of the farmer that grows it? I'm just blanking.
I am too. It starts with a G.
Close enough, yeah.
Griffunes.
Griffunes, yes. Griffunes. There you go.
Good, good. Yes. See?
There you go. We can, it takes two brains, but we can get it out there.
Oh, okay, yeah, yeah, there we go.
They're big PFI farmers too, yeah. So. Mm-hmm.
So it's good to know that community-supported agriculture is actually producing food for people to eat here in Central Iowa. We look out this time of year.
As opposed to corn and soybeans.
Those things, you may think that all those corn and soybeans out there are like, oh, look at all the food. Well, they are something called a commodity. And perhaps we'll have another show about commodities. That's a different sort of thing.
It's not for humans to eat.
No. And when you think of all the land and all of the effort and all of the energy that's put into all of those big fields in Iowa, that's fine and good, but it's good that people are thinking about food for people and good food for people. Yes. So the holidays are coming up, and do you get more people ordering more things or wanting to join up this time of year, Marilyn?
Yeah, usually right the week before Thanksgiving, we have a big order, and the week before
is somebody
before
doing
Christmas,
turkeys this year?
We will have turkeys this year.
Who's doing turkeys?
It's the Wild Rose Pastures people are going to bring turkeys, and Lee's Greens has a few turkeys that are available right now.
So is it still possible to order your Thanksgiving turkey?
It is still possible.
Okay, so remember, this is Farm to Folk, F-O-L-K. If you Google it, sometimes you get farm to fork. No, it's farm to folk.
Yep, right to the people.
That's right. That's right.
Very good. Very good. Turkeys. Oh, yes. Holiday gatherings.
Oh, it's coming.
Yeah. Sometimes I don't like turkey so much, but sometimes I'll get a giant chicken. Cindy Mattson has really big chickens sometimes, and so does Mary's farm. Mm-hmm. So you can buy a big roasting chicken. If you don't have a huge family coming and you want some kind of poultry, that makes
and
a nice substitution.
You can have chicken and turkey not for just the holidays,
that's
too.
Yes, eating fowl. It's such a satisfying sort of thing. Besides the chicken or the turkey or the duck or whatever you have, you get gravy out of all that, which is very
good. And stock,
very nice.
If
and
you save
stock.
The bones.
Oh,
yes.
Stock. So speaking of birds... I have a little news item from the Donalana Kitchen news department here. Tick 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 tick. That is the ticker tape. We have a news department. You wouldn't believe it, but we do. There is a man east of Ames called Carl Kurtz. And he's
what
a farmer.
What a lovely gentleman.
He farms prairie. He farms prairie in a big way, and he also gives us beautiful images because he's a wonderful photographer. He sends this sort of thing around.
And he collects prairie seed. That's his business, prairie seed. So if you're thinking about, like, I have a distinct 5-foot square of prairie that I started in my yard, and it keeps on growing and kind of spreading.
You should. He knows a lot about prairie. And he gives us beautiful pictures this week on the Internet. He sends things around. You can also find his images sometimes in the Ames Tribune as, you know, nice, beautiful pictures of sunsets and whatever. And coming up is a beautiful picture of sandhill cranes. Sandhill cranes, and there's this little note. He always gives us a little bit of wisdom.
Was this in the Trib?
Yeah, yeah. Uh-huh. I'll be in this week if it's not already. He always gives us a little bit of wisdom so we have something to learn along with the beautiful images. He says, sandhill cranes are the oldest living bird species. Can you imagine that? Thinking of
oh, they
birds.
They do yeah. look a little primal, don't
yeah,
they?
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Think of them as dinosaurs. They have a lineage in the fossil record dating back some 10 million years. So they've been here a while. They probably have a lot of bird wisdom. So,
and aren't we slowly getting a few more of them coming back to Iowa?
Yes. I don't know if they're endangered or not. They used to be. They used to be very rare, but they're back. They're back. Interesting looking, long-legged sort of things. They're 4 to 5 feet high, weigh from 10 to 14 pounds. And They like wetlands and open fields, and they're omnivores, like humans. They eat lots of things, green plants, seeds, mice, frogs, invertebrates, insects, grubs, and worms. These adult birds are around now, and they will breed next year in the springs. Thanks to Carl Kurtz for bringing images to our attention and some interesting words of wisdom about the natural things around us. You're listening to KHOY 89.1 FM Story City, Ames. This is the Donna Lana Kitchen Tasty Radio for the heart of Iowa. We're back. This is the Donna Lana Kitchen. We are in the kitchen today with Marilyn Anderson talking about community-supported agriculture. Marilyn, how can we get in touch with Farm to Folk? We're going to get hungry after this show. How can we get in touch with you?
You can go to our website, which is Farm to Folk, FarmToFolk.com, and you can sign up there for our newsletter. And you can also access the current a la carte order form there, and you can look at little profiles of all the producers and so much more.
A fine addition to Central Iowa, Farm to Folk CSA.
Or you can show up at the First Methodist Church tonight at 4:30 and meet Marilyn
stop
and her crew.
Any Tuesday. Right now we're at the Methodist Church.
Mm-hmm. Good. Find the people, find the food. There you go. I ran across something else here in the news, along with sandhill cranes that I mentioned earlier. A species of bees. This is not good news. Donna's bummer news department here.
Oh, boy.
Bees there's actually a species of bees in Hawaii, the only pollinating bees in Hawaii, that are now on the endangered species list, the Iowa native yellow-faced bees. People are a little concerned about that.
What are they called?
The yellow-faced bees.
And we have them here?
No. Hawaii.
Oh.
But you think about it. There's this island. There's all these beautiful plants. Bees don't just exist for themselves. They often help us out as in pollinating things. And people are very concerned that they are on a list. We need
because we're losing our pollinators, which that they provide, as they say, a serious ecosystem service. They do a lot for us.
Right. We may be a smart species, but I don't think we can go around, even if we employ every drone that is ever made, I don't think we can make little bee substitutes. They are just miracles of themselves, and we need them. We need them. We need them for lots of different reasons. So the Hawaii native yellow-faced bee, think of them. They need habitat. They need care, and we need to protect our bees all over the place. I've got a poem here to share. I've got a book called If Bees Are Few, A Hive of Bee Poems. And this is a poem by Pablo Neruda.
Oh.
It's quite a long poem. I'll just read a bit of it. But it's a lovely thing called Ode to the Bee. Multitude of the bee. It enters and exits from the crimson, the blue, the yellow, from the softest softness of earth. It enters a corolla in a hurry, on business, and leaves with a gold suit and a number of yellow boots. Perfect. From its waist, from its abdomen striped with dark bands, its little head always worried, and its wings new made from water. It enters through every fragrant window. It opens doors of silk. It pierces bridal chambers of the most fragrant love. It bumps into a drop of dew as if into a diamond. And from every house it visits, it takes a mysterious honey, rich and heavy. Honey, thick scent, liquid light that falls in big drops. Unto its collective palace it returns, and in the Gothic parapets it deposits the product of flower, flight, seraphic, secret, nuptial sun. Multitude of the bee, sacred elevation of unity, throbbing academy. That was a bit of a poem by Pablo Neruda, Ode to the Bee.
A wonderful Chilean poet.
Yes. So think about the things outside of our window. We have some upcoming things.
Yes, it's a busy community here. Tomorrow night at the library, right at our downtown library, we will have Dr. Robert Wallace at 6:30 p.m. So Dr. Robert Wallace is the author of Big Farms Make Big Flu. He is going to be a very interesting speaker. He's a microbiologist. Is that right? Did I say that right?
Mm-hmm.
He's consulted for the Food and Agricultural Organization of the United States and the CDC. He quite knows what he's talking about, and he has some information that Lana and I are going to be in the front row. We want to hear it.
It's nice to know that what we eat won't kill us. So let's learn about our food system here.
Yep. This is tomorrow night, Ames Public Library, 515 Douglas Avenue, 6:30 p.m. in the auditorium.
Yes. And at Cook's Emporium. Cook's Emporium in downtown Ames also has upcoming food things. They have cooking.
Oh, yes. She runs some great little cooking classes there.
There's one on chicken tiki masala on October 15th. They're going to be dealing with hot German potato salad on October 22nd. Moussaka and baladi salad on October 29th. That's at the Cook's Emporium.
Yum.
Yes. And the 60th annual Scandinavian Coffee and Bake Sale.
Oh, Lana went there last year and gave us a report. So you got another chance to go, folks. And this is the 60th anniversary.
October 14th, 5th, that's a Friday. And that's from 9 a.m. to 11:30 p.m. Bethesda Lutheran Church, 1517 Northwestern Avenue in Ames. Those Scandinavians, they got this way with pastry and
coffee.
Yeah,
they know how to bake a thing or two.
They do. Yes, they do. We enjoy them a lot. Yes. Coming up also, there's a thing called the World Food Prize that visits our fair state. Yes, it does.
Oh, yes. It's a big international deal of agribusiness.
That's coming up this week, and it happens in Des Moines. People that have big agricultural interests kind of congratulate each other on feeding the world. Well, there's been a little bit of doubt about that, a little pushback about feeding the world at the expense of a lot of our ecosystems and some of us, too. So there has been for the past 5 years something called Occupy the World Food Prize that sort of raises their hand and say, there's another story.
We got some questions that need to be answered.
It includes things like organic agriculture and fair practices and CSAs and how we are living.
And maybe even nitrate levels in the water, for goodness sake.
It's funny how all this stuff is connected.
Mm-hmm.
As part of this World Food Prize on October 13th, Thursday.
Predominantly in Des Moines is where most of the stuff happens there.
An event is happening. There is a man who's been doing this a long time. He's called Reverend Billy. Now, this is not Billy Sunday. This is not Billy Graham. No, this is Reverend Billy and the Church of Stop Shopping.
From San Francisco, I believe, right?
Including musicians and members of the choir. They will be joining the Occupy World Food Prize to talk about our relationship with the earth. And you can just tell by his name of his church, the Church of Stop Shopping, that he might have
wouldn't be about consumerism, would it, Lana?
It might be a little something about that. So he's going to be an interesting speaker. To learn more about the Reverend Billy and the Church of Stop Shopping, you can go to reverendbilly.com. Of course he has his own
And he's
website.
Going to be in Des Moines when and where?
Thursday, October 13th, 6 p.m. at the Iowa State House, the night of the World Food Prize Awards Ceremony. We can probably maybe even sing along with the choir. So, we've been talking about eating local. We've been talking about squash. We've had our special guest from the CSA Farm to Folk, Marilyn Anderson. Thank you for being with us today.
Thank you for having me.
You've been listening to the Donna Lana Kitchen. You have been listening to the Donna Lana Kitchen. Earlier, we had some music by Whoopi John Wolfart's band, Polkas and Schottisches, because we're coming up on Oktoberfest season, and that'll be with us soon, October 22nd here in town. We are here on the Donna Lana Kitchen, Tuesdays at noon, repeated at 7 p.m. Listen anytime at khoifm.org. My name is Lana Noctigal.
And I'm Donna Prisgintas.
Support this fine radio station. We have had good engineering by Cynthia McClurg. Eat good food and enjoy life.
Soft as the morning dove sigh. To the tune of To Live's To Fly. He sang me a sweet lullaby, singing To Live's To Fly, both low and high. So shake the dust off of your wings and sleep out of your eyes. Desert heart and a Columbine soul, eyes so dark that make your blood run cold. We'll polish another one off, let's go. Where we're headed, man, I don't know. You turn the grain of sand to a pearl, and just like me, had a little girl. And two sons to come into this world, and just like that, you turn the grain to a pearl.